Welcome to Buffy the Vampire Australia, where three Australians talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode by episode.
I'm Chris.
I'm Mabel.
And I'm Megan, and today we are discussing season 4, episode 15, This Year's Girl.
I imagine Chris was quite surprised.
Oh my god.
I didn't see this coming.
I mean, you wouldn't have, like, yeah. No one could see this coming. Like, no one could predict this in a million.
So you got the previously on Chris, and so you would have been like,
Faith.
What? Why? Well,
I think the reveal really was the previously on.
Yeah. I know.
Like, that was the reveal, right? Like, we're talking about Faith. Okay, well, what else? You know, a couple of things she could be doing.
Yeah. Like, I said early on, like, no prizes guessing for what happens in this episode. Like, why bother bringing the actress back if you aren't going to wake her up? So, obviously, she's going to wake up, right?
Yes.
And so, I just think it actually would have been far more interesting to have her open her eyes pre-credit scene. I think it just would have been much more powerful. Eyes open, credits, you know?
Okay. Okay. Let's get into it now. Right. Let's do it. I feel like this should have been, peppered in the last, five episodes.
Oh.
I think this should have been... I feel like last episode, the end of last episode, should have been her opening her eyes. Like, that's the real,
yes, so that you're left
moment.
On a
And maybe the dreams, peppered in the last, couple episodes as well. And they just couldn't afford paying...
Maybe.
Eliza Dushku.
Which Hawkins and Faith.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just, too accepting of this episode as it is, but I kind of like the sudden random... especially, I think, as a response to, Adam... I feel like this was a reward. It's like, we just got Adam, and I'm kind of pissed off about Adam. And then it's like, ta-da, you get Faith back as a reward for dealing with Adam. I do think, despite the fact that the previously on is the reveal, they just give it to you right away, I don't mind that because you get, it is its own reveal. You already get the kind of gasp moment as soon as the previously on happens. Then you get this kind of funky, I don't know, dream sequences aren't always the best in Buffy, but
so random, that first one.
It's all of them are random.
But that one in particular, random. What the hell are they even talking about? They're making a bed, talking about little sis coming. What the fuck?
So, yeah, as random as it is, I actually don't hate these dream sequences. And then even though they've already given everything away, I think they still have a bit of a mini reveal when Faith just shows up on campus and you're, not expecting her to be there right away. They're talking about how they have to go out and find Faith, and then you get a whole, Faith is right in front of you while you're having this conversation. It's kind of like...
That's true.
You know in that... In Something Blue, when Spike's walking around and he's like, wait, how did I get here? And he's right in front of Buffy. It's that. But I reckon that if this was an HBO show, right, where you can get away with putting the credit sequence at any point in the first half of the show, basically, sometimes they'll That's do these true. Really long openings. I reckon they would have, in a streaming show, they would have smooshed all of her dream sequences together. You would have cut from one to the next, to the next, to the next. And then it would have just been reveal, eyes open, credits. That's how it would have been done in a streaming show now.
Yeah.
And I think that would have worked.
Yeah.
But
what do you guys think? Are you glad she's back?
I love this episode. I love this and the next episode, which obviously is going to continue the story because it was to be continued at the end of this episode.
Yeah, so this is a part one, and so I think I am going to struggle to, and it always is hard to assess parts in isolation. This is a two-parter, so we probably could.
Mabel and I were just talking, Chris, when you went off just before about how we forgot that this was this episode coming up and that if we'd remembered, we would have done these together and maybe watched them together and because it just would have been better to do it together. Because it's hard for the two of us to separate out what happens this episode with what happens in the next episode.
Yeah.
The next episode of Angel or next episode of Buffy?
Buffy.
Okay.
It doesn't continue on Angel, just lines. On Buffy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's gonna be a bit of a challenge to separate this episode from the next one. But in general, I'm just I'm keen for some Faith action. And I think, I do feel like it's a bit of a juxtaposition to the initiative and the Adam stuff that we're going through. It's a bit back to classic original Buffy. Even the other person we see again, guys, Joyce, Can we?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I know.
This is some quality Joyce. Cool. You know,
we get Faith
Joyce
back. We get Joyce back. We're back in like the Summers family home. Like, I feel like I'm almost like back. It all felt very homey, you know?
It felt
like,
very nostalgic.
This is. Mm-hmm. This is the Buffy.
I think you guys are combining the episodes together already. Because look, that was not prime Joyce.
Oh,
she got hit and then was on a bed.
I was running late and so I watched this while I was cooking dinner. But then I was like, I have to go back and just watch a few bits and pieces. And I watched that last scene again and I got to the end of it and I was like, fucking great Joyce episode. Like, she's just got these great zingers. She's just like so fucking suave and confident. I loved it.
Okay.
It was great Joyce.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
I actually felt a little guilty, honestly, because as soon as Joyce showed up, I realized how much I'd like forgotten about Joyce a little bit this season.
Yeah,
I felt super guilty. I was like, oh my God, Joyce, I love you so much. I can't believe I forgot you existed, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, I wouldn't say that Joyce has always been this good. Like, I just think she's just super fucking gun this episode. Like, she's just like, you know, keep planning on slitting my throat anytime soon. Like, she's just so...
I think given that she was given one scene, it was like she knocked it out of the park.
Like, for the one scene she had.
Yeah.
And it was just a real light episode, you're right. Like, after the Adam stuff and the initiative, it's all so heavy and dramatic and like grandiose. And I just love how Faith is just this, you know, she's basically the villain of the episode, which, you know, I mean, it's crazy to think that a Slayer is the villain. But she does it so well. And I hated Eliza Dushku and Faith so much when I was younger. But I fucking cannot get enough of her now. I love every moment that she's on screen. Yeah. She just is such a delight. She's like Spike in that way. Like, she's just so fun and, you know, just kind of really, I don't know, I like her. I like what she's bringing to the show at the moment.
I like her too. I think she can struggle sometimes. Sometimes she's capital A acting.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm hearing someone recite words from a page rather than actually meaning what she's saying sometimes.
I think she's...
And, you know...
I think Faith character, like, she's given such a, like, persona to play, especially in this episode, I think, where she's, like, I don't know, like, reminding us of who Faith was, or I guess for any like new people, like defining again who Faith is and like what her character is like. So I do think in this one it was pretty strong, hammy Faith personality.
Yeah.
I do agree with you, and that is what I used to think of her too, Chris, that capital A acting. 100%. Yeah,
I really like the mix we get in Faith though. So we get her kind of like fun villainous acting. You know, it is very over the top, but it's very like she's a very particular personality, you know, and that's every scene with her is that. Then you get on top of that all these like dream sequences and her like you get like a bit of remembering like the sympathy we felt for Faith a bit, you know, with her and the mayor and what she's gone through.
Oh,
but she's
more importantly, can we talk about the mayor being back? Because how much of a fucking joy is that man to be back?
He's back. I'm missing him.
There's a lot of fun to be had this episode, really.
It's just a fun episode, yeah.
But I like that she's like evil enough still that you don't like, it's not enough to, like, we don't totally feel sorry for her. She's still like a bitch enough that we're like, oh, she's a well-rounded character with a background story, but she's still a murderous bitch that we're not really rooting.
You guys are already getting me excited for this one. Like, I sort of wasn't really into it when I was watching it. I was a little confused. It kind of felt rushed and just like all shoved together. But
I really think that we've done it together as a two-parter, because I do think that the second episode really brings it home. And I'm going to have a lot to say about Eliza Dushku in the second episode.
Oh my God,
too.
100%. But
yes.
Part one is always a setup. And I think Megan and I definitely like Chris, we should have let you watch part two.
We should have let you watch part two before we did this.
You're at a disadvantage. But you have the unique perspective still.
Before we go on, I've forgotten to do the written by synopsis, etc.
Oh, yes.
Australians watching.
So it's written by Douglas Petrie, directed by Michael Gershman, both names I've heard before. A synopsis: Elijah Dushku returns as Faith in a two-part episode. Buffy is preoccupied with catching the creature that attacked Riley, but her problems are just beginning when she learns that Faith has awakened from her coma and has gone seeking revenge to the only home in which Faith remembers Buffy living. Meanwhile, once she's set free, Faith receives a mysterious gift left behind from the mayor.
It's quite a revealing synopsis there.
Pretty revealing.
Read
synopsis.
That in the TV guide before watching the episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
It really spells it all out.
Yeah. So we open on that weird dream sequence and you know, they're making a bed.
What the hell is that about?
You got know. A lot to do before little sis gets here. Faith's dripping with blood all over the sheets.
Yeah.
It's very, they do love a good dream sequence in Buffy. Yeah. Just cryptic weirdness.
They do.
Is Faith supposed to be Buffy's like little sister?
That's what I wondered. Yeah. Is she the little sis? Because like, she was always a little bit the little sister, right?
Yeah. We never really. Oh, yeah. Is she younger? We always and ahed about her.
We always
age
did
quite
on
a bit.
And ahed. I think she was younger.
Oh, she's definitely younger. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't she? Let's go younger.
Yeah.
So you think she's like the little sis that's little coming sis. Home out of it? Yeah. Pretty weird.
Resident weapons specialist Xander is just looking at the blaster.
Okay. Just a couple of things.
Okay.
I mean, we've already talked about, you know, we're bringing back a lot of older Buffy elements. We've got Faith back. We've got Joyce back. We got the summer home back. I feel like all of the Xander we get in this episode is a little bit like annoying old Xander again a little. You
yeah,
know?
You're right.
I have
right.
three of my quotes this episode are all Xanders.
He's so gross and annoying.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. But he also says some zingers.
Okay. He's so gross and annoying. Also, his outfit isn't even like, I don't know what they're doing with his outfit. He's got this like sweater vest over a t-shirt. It's definitely
yeah,
the least Xander
yes,
outfit
the
that I've
yes.
seen.
Yes.
And then the one thing that's not like a bit of a throw, like the fact that Xander, I know we've been throwing back to Xander's commando training, and so I guess that's why they're getting him to fix the blaster, but Willow has always been the like technically proficient one. I'm watching
yes.
this scene with yep. Xander struggling with like the electrical circuiting of this device, and Willow is standing on the sidelines, and I'm like, in what world is
yeah.
Willow not fixing this?
Yeah, 100%.
You guys are idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a gun. He could hurt himself. Just like. Yeah.
And he does.
He does.
Yes.
He
yeah,
does.
He does. He does.
Yeah. And he talks about how, I don't even want to say a stupid line about the orgasmator.
That's
like
literally one of the ones that I picked for my favorite line.
You like that one?
I like that one.
Oh, gag. I'm glad I took that out of the running for your favorite quote. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah. I was going to say it just now. Damn it. Okay, fine. We'll move on.
Okay.
So we leave them doing their thing, and we go and see what Riley's up to, and Forrest is still working really hard on continuing his role as resident wanker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Riley's the classic action movie hero, you know, pulling out the IV drip.
Oh my
God. I'm getting out of this. I'm walking out of this hospital. I know I'm not ready, but I'm walking out because I got business to do and a girl to kiss and all that stuff. Classic.
It's basically
classic.
What that scene. Yeah. But then more.
Forrest
is, yes, go.
Well, like Forrest is revealing a lot of the classic, like he was the second in command, and now I think he's kind of happy to have taken over Riley a little bit. You know, he's like, things change because Riley's trying to pull rank again, and Forrest is like, you've been out of action, and now I'm the new boss in town. And he seems kind of a little happy about it.
He's a douche. He's such a douche. He is literally the reason the term AJ exists. Oh, no.
AJ.
Army jerk.
What?
Army jerk.
Oh, never heard that?
Huh. I've never heard that.
Never mind, whatever.
Life.
This must be a 90s thing. As you were. We wish you could see their faces right now, listeners. They're doing that classic, like, what the fuck is Megan talking about?
How are you talking?
I like, whenever this happens, we can always rely on one of our listeners to back
yes,
up.
Yes,
you know? Like, Chris and I have no idea, but someone will know what I'm talking about. I'm right
Thank
there
you.
With you.
Yes, I appreciate all of you. But more importantly, let's go back to the hospital where Faith is having a dream about her charming boss cum dad, Mayor Wilkins. It's nice to see you, buddy. Mm-hmm. So nice
it
to
is
see
very
you.
Very nice.
He does that little bit with the snake. Oh, I just love it. I love any time he's on screen. He's a delight. Then...
Really yes. quickly, there is, like, no results on Nanami Jerk. This is... There's one entry in the Quarry Dictionary, but even that's like army personnel.
Okay.
It's like something that
my
army person
cousin
says.
Was in the army back in the 90s, and he was the one who told me about AJs, that that's a thing.
I think he was the one that made
maybe,
the term.
Maybe.
Maybe, yeah. Oh, there's a Wikipedia article. A derogatory term used by civilians. Oh, gosh.
RAF and Navy personnel. See?
There you go.
It's actually looking more like it was from the 80s, AJ. Not the 90s. So, yeah, I'm really behind it.
Particularly Darwin and Townsville, okay.
Particularly Darwin and Townsville. And my cousin was from Townsville, so there you go.
All right, it's all coming together now, okay.
I love that there is still a record of this on the internet, though.
God, I love the internet. So good.
Yeah.
So good.
It's pretty handy for proving Megan right.
I love the sort of bizarro world we get in the dream sequence where we get to see Buffy being like the scary villain in Faith's dream.
I like that
too.
Yeah, I like that.
That's what I see when I see Buffy on screen, you know? I think Buffy is the villain of this show.
Oh my God.
Finally, you see what I see all the time.
Oh my God, I'm not even going there. I know you're just baiting me and I'm not going there.
Yeah.
So Buffy and Willow and Xander are on patrol looking for Adam at this point. Yeah, Adam. And we get this amazing... This is a pretty fucking great effect with this splayed demon. Like, even in HD, that is a fucking good job they've done on that. It is very, very intense. Yeah. It was impressive, I thought.
Yeah, I feel like Hannibal, the TV series, was like taking notes from this episode of Buffy.
Oh, yes, I see what you've done. And then we get more Buffy, more Faith dreams. She's running through the cemetery. Buffy's chasing her. She falls into the grave. Buffy jumps in. Faith comes out alone and then wakes from her coma. And so I guess there was, like, I love the dream sequences. I think they just could have been smooshed all together because it actually would have helped keep that through thread of Buffy's the villain, Buffy's the villain, Buffy's the villain, keeping Faith down. And then when Faith wins against Buffy, that's when she wakes up from her coma. It's kind of, I don't know, quite nice. Can we talk about why there are no alarms going off when Faith pulls all the monitors off of her? Like, someone in a
Can we also
coma.
Talk about why her hospital looks like it's an abandoned hospital? Like, when she actually wakes up and runs into that girl that she ends up beating up, I'm like, is this another dream sequence? Because it looks like a dream sequence.
Yes.
I think the idea is, like, she's been putting on like the top floor where they're completely forgotten about. Hardly ever monitors it. It's just comatose people.
She's in that kind of, like, random...
Up.
Yeah, almost abandoned. Quick shout out to this girl. I'm not doing my name that minor character on her, and I'll tell you why.
Okay, that's fine.
Kimberly McRae has a sole total of one entry against her name in IMDb. I've never seen this before.
That's
one entry.
Oh my
God. Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
This is like...
Visitor.
That's like impressive.
Yeah.
I know. I had to shout it out.
For winning,
it's
for
like,
one of those.
This is like, I find it incredible that this could even happen. That is amazing. So I would love to know more about
her story.
Have
you played that game?
Yeah. What was that?
Have you guys ever played that game where you Google like three words and you have to try and get one result? Or like the minimum amount of results you can get? Like if you just use like four random words in a combination. I don't know why it reminds me of that game, but it does.
Right.
And she, weird character. What's with the teddy bear? Why is she asking who is clearly a disorientated hospital patient for directions? Like, Yeah. Find someone else. Find the map. Why are you doing on this level?
She does clearly very quickly realize she's asking the wrong person. You know, like. Yeah.
So yeah, look, this whole scene is a bit meh.
My big gripe with this one was like she's just woken up from a coma, an 8 month long coma, and was just like talking quite coherently.
Oh, and then and later with Buffy, she's like, "Oh, the thing about being in a coma is you wake up all rested and rejuvenated." And I'm like, "Do you?
No.
Do you wake up from a coma?
No."
Because like Megan, have you watched the commentary for this episode?
Oh. A long time ago.
Presumably a long time ago. I haven't watched it, but I've like read things about the commentary and I was looking at it again. And apparently they were like, there was originally going to be a big rooftop fight scene for Faith just after she woke up. And it was supposed to sort of like show us whether or not a Slayer is weak directly after waking up from a coma or not. Okay. It was supposed to sort of like demonstrate the difference between a Slayer and a regular person waking up from a coma, but it got cut.
Right.
And so I guess there is a question of like maybe Slayers do just wake up from comas being strong.
All right, sure.
Okay.
I don't really agree with that. And I'm still, I know it's like, I know this is just, it's basically like a rule. It's just like a lore about how TV shows have to write these hospital wake-up scenes. But I still get annoyed, you know, every time you watch someone wake up and immediately just like rip everything out of their body without questioning anything. Mm-hmm. It just...
Twice in like 10 minutes.
I know, right?
Have a back-to-back.
You know, I'm just stop it. Stop it.
Yeah. I do hate it.
Because you were talking about that stuff, I was just going through the notes of Wiki to just see whether there was anything. The mention of the orgasmerator is actually the ray gun that forces orgasm upon whomever it is fired at from the movie Orgasmo, which if you haven't seen, you need to do yourself a favor and watch. It is the most ridiculously terrible film of all time and everybody needs to see it.
We need to start Megan's watch list. Of these strange films that no one's ever heard of that Megan loves.
I promise you that anyone who is my age has at least heard of Orgasmo. At least.
It rings a bell. It honestly rings a bell.
You should put that on your list, Mabel, for your podcast. I really think so because it's all about porn movies.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that is worth watching.
Oh, wait. Oh, Trey Parker.
Yeah.
I've definitely heard of them.
Oh, I think that
we
it
need to put
like
Megan's watch list on our Patreon or something.
Yes.
Oh, is it dressed up as a Mormon?
And there's also a scene where that somebody wears a giant Mormons. Dildo on their head as a hat.
Love it.
Yeah.
I genuinely think
you would enjoy the shit out of Orgasmo, Mabel. Yeah. So that's what he was referring to. That's what that gun was.
I was just
gonna
say, I'm gonna give Xander some credit back for his earlier comment, which was clearly a pop culture reference that I did not get. So, although when he talks of, I mean, I know he's all hung up on this whole like, oh, I slept with Faith once thing, and that's just like a recurring theme. But when he finishes someone's sentence with like, oh, who's she's doing at the moment? I'm just getting sick of it.
I did love the mention, Faith's mention of the graduation.
I need to get to graduation. Yeah.
How spooky would that be to hear like someone say that? Like,
love the frustration what day is it? And she's like, no, the fucking date.
Not
like,
the
obviously,
date.
I don't care that it's Friday.
Friday the what?
I just woke up from a coma.
Yeah, it would be fucking freaky having that much time go past. Ugh.
We've had a few different times now in season 4, like the revisit to Sunnydale High and like the what's left of it. I wish they'd done a better job of the school because it looks like shit every time we go there. You know,
it looks really bad.
Even on DVD,
even on DVD,
it looks like shit. And so you've got all this exciting talk of graduation, what happened, Faith's out of a coma, and then you just get her in front of this shitty green screen image of something. I don't know, something out of like a very low quality video game. And
it's bad.
It's such a waste.
So then we go to a scene with Buffy and Riley where they just talk about stuff. I literally can't deal when they're like sexual with each other. You know, when she like starts climbing on him and he's like touching his hair.
When she sits in his lap.
I can't look at it. It makes me sick. I don't know what it is.
I don't know who can watch those things. There's something about, I mean, like, Sarah Michelle Gellar in general is already kind of like gross to watch in her makeup scenes, but there's something about specifically her with Riley that's like a little bit more.
Why is that? I was feeling this too. Like, I'm glad you guys.
Parents get proper intimate. Like, I mean, if you, it was like you were watching your parents do exactly that. Watching your mum climb on top of your dad and run her hands through his hair. I don't know why, but they're just giving off this mom and pop vibe that just kind of makes it gross.
There's just something about, I think, like Buffy's love and expression of affection to him in general. Because I already got a little bit, like, when he first shows up in Xander's basement and she's like, well, you're here now, so we can do anything. You know, she's just very, like, like goo-goo eyes at him constantly. And so that was already gross.
Look, I also just want to
And then she sits in his lap.
I just want to clarify that old people can and should have sex. And it's totally fine. I just don't want to see my parents do it. That's all.
Yeah, no, I think we all understand.
Okay, good. Maybe. Just making sure. Just making sure.
I can't imagine anyone arguing with you that they like seeing their parents.
No, but I just wanted. I didn't want to be ageist. I didn't want anyone to think that I have a problem with older people having sex. Like, I love Gracie. It's not the elderly thing. It's the parents thing.
We're going to get messages saying, Megan, how dare you not want to watch your parents have sex? That is disgusting.
What is wrong with
you? Try it. You have to. It's so judgmental. Watch your parents have sex. You should.
But yeah, honestly, if anyone listening has ever, like, if anyone is not completely disgusted by watching Buffy and Riley make out, I want to know. I want to know if there's even a single person, because I find it so hard to believe that a single person can watch this scene and not be disgusted.
And look, I must say, I generally these days find it really hard to watch scenes that have a lot of intimacy, you know, and sex generally, but like particularly intimacy, not just like all blown sex, but just like really intimate scenes. I don't want it, you know. And I think
especially when you watch, I mean, it's kind of just all media, but I think particularly older media was always kind of bad at doing it. And I think like the older you get and the more you understand like how bad of a portrayal this is of intimacy, the harder it is to watch.
Yeah,
you know, like the more you have real life experience of what intimacy and affection actually looks like, it's harder to
watch. That's part of what it is. Maybe it's not, it's we're watching 1990s intimacy and it's not great. Like,
yeah, although I don't like this again, like this particular thing, I don't think any aged me ever enjoyed this. I don't think any version of me ever watched this and was like, oh, that's sweet. No.
I think it's I like her, and like every interview I've seen with her is fantastic, and she seems like a really genuinely lovely person, but there is something very cringy about Sarah Michelle with peace and love, with love and respect.
I do agree. I mean, her kissing style is extremely bitey, and we've always said that, and I don't know. It's just there's something just doesn't quite work about it. Yeah, I'm going to be really interested to see some of the intimate scenes that are coming up with other characters and just how that plays for me now.
Time will tell. Wait. Hold on, are you saying she doesn't end up with Riley? Big. Wow, I thought Riley was forever.
Maybe she has an affair and then she ends up back with Riley. That's all I'm saying.
Wow.
Maybe Megan was just talking about other characters and couples in Buffy.
Yeah.
Excluding Sarah Michelle.
Listen, we all knew Riley wasn't sticking around longer than season 4. We all knew. Come on.
So they then he then asks who Faith is because, you know, she's clearly wigged about him. That's a Buffy term right there. Mm-hmm. And then Buffy tells Willow the next day that she gave Riley an edited version of that.
Lol at what she says.
Lol at what she says, yes.
Yeah.
And then they bump into Faith on campus.
Yeah.
Is this now? No, not yet.
Yeah, no, they're walking around campus, talking about, and then she's right there. She's at the bulletin board checking out secondhand furniture ads.
Yeah.
She really loves referring to people by their hair color as well. Blondie, hey, Red. Watch out, Red, I'll break your arm.
Totally Blondie, does. Red, you know? Blondie, yeah. And look, I think the script writing has... Do you know what? I actually blame the script writing a lot. Like, I actually think Eliza Dushku is doing a great job with what she has available to her.
Mm.
The script writing is not great for this character. Also, who called the police?
Because
they arrived real quick. Who else would have even known who she was to call the police and have them turn up?
I mean, there must have been something for... Like, she escaped from the hospital. Like, they know they're looking...
So they're, like, tracking her. And they just happened to see her on campus security
cameras? I mean, they already called Buffy, knowing that Buffy was like a related contact, asked Buffy if she'd seen her. So I guess Buffy goes to the college. Maybe they were like...
Yeah, who called Buffy?
I guess the detectives looking for her.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Go back. I missed a bit. We go to the hospital. And Faith is gone.
Yep.
And
the
doctor is having a chat with the nurse about where is Faith. And the nurse is like, hey, I wasn't on shift, dude. It's not my problem.
Yeah.
Let's find out more about it. It's time to...
Yeah.
God, totally jumped over it.
I knew it. You had a specific tone of regret where you were like, I've missed my name that character moment.
It's time to name the main character. Cool. Sarah Van Horn. Sarah Van Horn, perhaps. Yes. So she seems like she knows more than she's telling, because she calls the Watchers Council. So she's an interesting character. Now, this chick, everybody knows from something, because she's been in a bunch of stuff. Yeah, she's one of those people where you're like, what do I know that person from? And it's like, oh, everything. Okay, sure. You know.
Cool.
So she, one of her major recurring arcs was on Parks and Rec as a character called Gretel. So she is the bizarre woman who does things like ask Leslie Knope to remove the slugs from around her house but not kill them. And not to get rid of all of them, but just most of them.
Oh my God.
She's that lady. She was in all of the things. You know, she's in Sabrina the Teenage
Witch.
She's
been in some
stuff. She was in The Practice. She was in Malcolm in the Middle, Ally McBeal, Will and Grace. She was in Desperate Housewives. She was in Cheaper by the Dozen 2. She was...
That's when they got good.
She was in The Office. She was in Criminal Minds. She was in My Name is Earl, Scrubs, Community, Weeds, The Middle, CSI, Grey's Anatomy, Grace and Frankie. I mean, she's just done a lot.
Because this is like recent stuff too. Like, she just hasn't stopped.
Yeah. And it's mostly like one episode.
She doesn't do any little stuff. They're all big shows.
Yeah, she does big shows, but only like one episode, except for Parks and Rec, where she did 6 episodes.
Good for her. I mean, I liked her in this very minuscule scene and role in this episode. Yeah. She did that well.
She did it well. She's just done a bunch of random stuff.
We'll say her character names are on another level.
Yes.
Homeless woman, older lady, grandmother, elderly woman, old woman, older woman, cat lady, Nana the bride, woman selling roses, librarian, lunch lady. It's just a real vibe.
It's a real vibe.
Paul's
mom,
vibe.
Night nurse.
Yep.
Yeah. But so did she properly lady look familiar to
crossing guard? Yeah, I feel like I know her from something, and I mean, I didn't get it until I was like, and then even when it said Parks and Rec, I was like, who was she in Parks and Rec? And I had to look that up. So yeah.
Mm. Oh, I love this.
I know.
How early in her career was this Buffy?
It's
like, what did she do before?
Reasonably
this?
Early. So she started her career in 1989, and she only did a couple of things that year. Then she did an episode of something called Nightstand in 1995. Then Sabrina the Teenage Witch the next year. Then a movie the year after that. Then a couple of bits and bobs. Oh, she was in Primary Colors, the movie, as well, that year. And then, like, yeah, so it was pretty early in her career. Yeah.
I love it. Because I'm all, like, sometimes we get these and I'm like, man, Buffy knows how to pick them. But then I'm like, actually, no, Buffy knows how to make them. You know, like we get them
true.
At the start, you know. And then everyone follows.
So true.
And I feel like, so she's obviously somebody who came at acting later in life, you know, like she had her kids probably and was just like, oh, I might try my hand at a bit of extra work, you know? Like, yeah, it's kind of cute. I love it. It's a good Name of That Money character, I think, this week.
Yeah, I love it.
Fantastic one.
That's like a classic, you know, my Name That
it
Money.
It felt like a real
you know?
Classic.
Just like a real bread and butter old lady character, you know?
Yes.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah. Yeah. All right, back to it. Yeah. So Buffy and Faith are fighting and the cops somehow get called.
We won't question it.
And
she just shoves them out of the way.
Whatever.
There's something else. So Buffy, so then she, like, they have the whole conversation and then the cops come and then Faith starts running away. And I, there was something about, because you get a shot of, like, Buffy chasing Faith to track her, but, like, in terms of the shot, Buffy's, like, running towards the camera. And it just, I don't know if she always looks like this, but this stood out to me. She looked really bad running. Like, she looked, like, really...
SMG?
Yeah, like, really...
Oh, have we just been shitting on SMG all episode, are we?
And slow and, like, I don't know. It looked like an awkward run.
She does some awkward runs, if I'm honest.
I feel like, yeah, maybe usually we're like, seeing, like, a stunt double from behind as opposed to, like, Sarah Michelle Gellar front on running towards us. But it looked
so stupid. I'm just watching it back now. You're so right.
Is it SMG?
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And it's really bad.
Oh, God.
Oh... I'm sure the three of us would all look terrible running.
Oh, I definitely do.
I reckon I look hot when I run.
Oh, wow. Big.
What a call. Yeah.
You know what? She does look a little goofy. It looks, watching it back now, I think they look a little puffed, both of them. So this might be like take 40, mm-hmm. this little bit. So maybe they're a little puffed out.
And it was better than take one. I guess, somehow.
Yeah.
So then we get a random Willow and Tara scene. Is this one of those Angel situations where she was just contractually obliged to appear in the episode?
Yeah.
100%. Remember this character? Don't forget this character.
It was a weird one.
But, okay, if they do have to include her because of her contractual obligations, I'm glad they got her to comment on what the hell
five by five what?
And Willow's like, that's
no one knows. It was good. That was good. I also noted that one.
What does that mean?
No one knows.
It is actually a thing.
Oh, is it?
It's
Mabel knows.
Yeah, it's like a signal strength thing. There's a Wikipedia. Something in telecommunications, a signal strength thing. It's like 5 out of 5 signal strength. Something.
Well, that's 5 out of 5, not 5 by 5.
No, they say 5 by 5 is the phrase. And that's where it comes
so
from.
So dumb.
Yeah. But I don't know where Faith would have picked this up as a catchphrase.
I've just Googled 5 by 5. First result is 5 by 5 meaning. Second result is 5 by 5 Buffy.
See, Buffy continues to exist in the zeitgeist.
Yeah. Mabel nailed it, yeah.
So I... have lost my place because I was reading ahead on some stuff, but
well, right after this, Spike gets his own version of this scene.
Oh my god, this was a great scene. Oh my god, Spike once again though, his version of being on screen. I mean, I love Tara, I love Amber Benson, but he just stole the show with one scene. I love him.
Yeah,
I feel like in particular because like the best part. So this scene is all you know, Xander and Giles. I don't know what are they even doing? They're out and about town.
They're looking.
They're just looking for Faith.
Walking around looking for Faith.
Because you know, Xander's got some kind of connection with her, so you know he'll be able to find her.
Get over yourself. But yeah, so obviously they start telling Spike about her and they like keep a lookout, and then he's just like, I hate you guys. Why are you telling... I'm not your friend. Don't you
Can't
remember I'm
any
evil?
One of you damn and little Scooby Club try to remember that I hate you all.
And I feel like it's the perfect combination of Spike and James Masters just being his excellent usual self. But then the look on Giles and Xander, and honestly particularly Giles, like the look on their face when they're like, shit, we fucked up. It's like so great. Giles looks like, because Giles so rarely makes that like fuck I'm an idiot face.
Oh my god.
So good.
So then a helicopter lands and three men carrying briefcases come and talk to the nurse.
And you're like, ugh, the watch is canceled.
Oh god, it's just so over the top though.
I honestly did not even put that together
until
you've said it here.
Oh,
I'm kind of like, ugh, who needs them? I feel like they're like their own like British brand of the Initiative. You know, we had the council, and now we've been dealing with the Initiative, and now the council again's flying in on their helicopters, and it's like we've already got one of you annoying groups. Why do we need both of you?
Mm-hmm. I do agree.
Yeah.
So Faith gets approached by a demon who's got a gift for her, and I mean, she kills him. But in her defense, That dude was sinister as fuck. He's like, I've got something for you. Like, as if he was literally going to beat her up. So he deserved to die, frankly.
Yeah.
That's on him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. To be aware of how you look and approach people accordingly.
And how you sound. Like, change your tone. Think about the tone of your voice. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
Yeah. Demon. Are you listening?
So then we get a delightful video of the mayor. This is sensational. He can do no
wrong, aside from being super evil. Oh,
entrancing. I could not look away from the screen.
He's so cool.
There's something about him. He's just magnetic.
Oh, yeah. I hope that there'll be, I can't remember, but I hope there's other opportunities for the mayor to return because fuck, he's so good.
Now there was a villain you could love, you know?
100%.
Let's go back to season
three. Yes, good season. And it just, because he finds this beautiful balance between absolute villainy and then absolute, like, delight and joy, and then this love and affection for Faith, where he's like, the world's probably changed, and, you know, I just, it's just beautifully, beautifully done. Yeah.
I get so sad kind of watching it, though, because he's always, like, I love Dad Mayor, you know? Like, I love him being Faith's father figure. Yeah. I love him being, like, such a strong dad vibe.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, he's so loving. You know, like you said, he's so loving in his video, and he knows exactly what to say, and he knows exactly what Faith's going through, and he says all the right things. But at the same time, I'm watching it, and I'm like, the actual content and result of his advice to her, based on what I think Faith probably actually needs at this point in her life, is not actually what she needs, you know? And it's again, like, he's evil. So it's like, he's just evil dad, and that's fine. But then I start feeling for, like, colored, Faith, the person. Yeah. I'm like, he's a... Because he's evil, and that's just how it is. But, yeah, I'm just like, oh, Faith, like, if only your perfect father figure just were a little less evil.
So then we go to Buffy's mother figure, who is awesome. Is awesome.
Otherwise known as her mother.
Otherwise known as her mother. Correct. You're quite right. And I want to point out for you, Chris, because I think that this will help you to understand the character of Faith a little better. But according to Douglas Petrie, the subtext of the scene with Faith and Joyce was that if Joyce were Faith's mother, Faith would never have neglected Joyce's, you know, protection and love the way she's basically accusing Buffy of doing. So everything she's doing is coming from this place of kind of, I don't know, like, and I really felt that this time. And again, I've really been a champion of the capital A acting from Eliza Dushku. But I just think part of the problem is the script writing. And I think that she does a pretty good job of kind of this almost, there is another layer underneath what she's saying and doing that kind of, for me, points to this kind of thing, that she's actually, like, incredibly jealous of Buffy and thinks that Buffy doesn't appreciate what she's got and that she would if she had it, you know? I don't know. I liked that play that they had going on. Yeah.
No, I think like 100%, and I really liked how it carried, because essentially, because there's no actual beef between Joyce and Buffy, right? So we're not watching this being like, oh, she's found the weak point and she's going to like tear down the relationship. So you're watching this whole thing being like very confident that Buffy and
Absolutely.
Joyce,
I mean, it's
cool,
totally normal. And like, and Joyce, she's got her own life going on. Like, she's like, stay at college, babe.
And she's like, you don't know a thing about me and Buffy. You know, you're crazy and psychotic. So I think that helps you then really listen to Faith's threats and kind of monologuing to be really like, Faith is talking about herself, you know, which was always true. But it's like the fact that she's not actually correctly finding the way to get to Joyce, you know, like sometimes villains do it and they actually pick the right thing, and their hostage sort of is like, oh, you found the thing I'm defensive about or whatever. But she's like kind of completely off the mark, which lets you watch this whole thing again from a bit of, it just like pulls at our sympathy for Faith again, which, like I said, they do a few different ways in the episode. And she's still evil enough that we're like, yeah, we feel for you, but you're evil. And we're kind of still rooting for Buffy in this. But this whole thing is just, again, Faith is so lost.
She's such a sad
character.
She's
so sad.
It's
really sad. And I'm watching it come through while she's being like, you know, psychotic and threatening, and like she has a hostage and she's trying to murder people and stuff, but it's all just coming from,
I mean,
this
it's
really
what's, it's,
sad
she's such
place.
A complicated and complex character in that way. Like, she's not really a villain, she's just lost, and if only there was a way to get her back. Like, I mean, there were multiple times in her history where there were opportunities to get her back, but, you know, the Watchers Council fucked her over, and, you know, that other villain, Genevieve or whatever her name was, Tafrim, you know, she fucked her over. And, like, there was just so many opportunities where Faith could have started coming back into the fold, and she didn't. And, I mean, you know, and I don't think Buffy did a great job of it. We've talked about all of that before. But, yeah, it's just such a shame. It's just like a bit of a what if, you know, but for this.
Yeah. I think I'm just really loving, like, the depth to Faith's villainy throughout this episode, you know? Like, she's actually a rounded character, which you don't always get out of
it. It's also what I always loved about the mayor, too. Speaking of mothers, very quickly, can we just talk about how Riley compares Buffy to his mother? Did you guys pick up on that? Where he's like,
did I miss this?
It's, Mink is exaggerating.
I thought it was weird and gross, though. Why would he say that?
I did not think it was that weird or that gross. Essentially, what Megan's talking about is
so basically, like, say? Riley and Buffy are talking, and she's like, "Don't argue with me." Oh God, we've lost Mabel. You can't even. Riley is like, "I'm not going to argue with you," and Buffy's like, "Well, you've got that face on you right before, like, that innocent-looking face that you get right before you start." And he's like, "Oh, really? That's, you know, took my mother 12 years to figure that out." And it's just weird. It's weird to compare.
Megan.
It's
not that weird.
Thank you, Chris.
You are. That is.
That is the most innocuous comment.
Why did you say that?
Comparing Buffy to his mother.
It's not even like. It's not even like a weird. It's not even like a weird relationshipy thing. She's just like noticed one of his tells about when he's like, any friend could say the same thing. And Riley's like, took my mom like 12 years to figure out when I'm being cheeky or something.
I think it's weird.
I think you read way too much into that.
I think so too.
All right, fair enough. Okay, so Buffy now arrives at home because turns out she hasn't abandoned her mother. Like Faith is making her. Yes.
Did she have to come? Like, okay. Great. I mean, great entrance. Cool. She comes flying through the window.
Why, though? Did she hear them fighting? Because
how?
Faith had only just started. Where from?
Did she climb the tree?
Hold on.
Oh, my God.
How did she get up on the roof?
It's a Buffy jump. It's an off-camera Buffy jump.
It was an off-camera Buffy jump.
Buffy jump.
Third, this would be like the fourth?
It might be the fourth because I feel like, we've had one every season. It's been a one every season kind of thing.
True.
That's not off-camera Buffy
it's
jump.
It's happened, guys.
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's happened.
Exciting. Slayer abilities, guys. Can Faith jump?
Yeah, it really is, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why did she go through the window? Like, it's not like... Like, Faith had only just started raising her voice. So there's no way that Buffy, like, got to the house, heard them fighting, and then decided to, like, get up onto the roof, and then...
Well, okay, mate. So it's a hostage situation. Maybe she had to go to the window to assess that her entrance wasn't going to
But did she know that Faith was there? How did she even know Faith was there? Why didn't she just come in the front door to check on her mother?
Yeah. Maybe she went to check on her mother. She heard Faith's voice, then went back out.
Maybe she went in the front door, heard Faith. Or she got there and she saw two people and she thought maybe that's Faith's silhouette. Yeah. Either way, it's a bit dodge.
But, like, slowly going up a ladder.
It's not what happened. It's definitely an off-camera really Buffy sense, jump. You're right? Absolutely right, Chris.
She jumped.
Yeah, you've nailed
it's
this.
It's got to be a jump.
It's 100%.
Yeah. It's got to be a jump. Exactly. It makes sense.
Yes. Yes.
That's so much better.
So, fighting in shoes, and Joyce calls the police. And then we get this quick cut, which, again, just seemed really unnecessary, where we go to Giles and... all the lights don't work in his apartment. And then the three men with briefcases turn a lamp on. It's so dramatic. Hello, Rupert. Oh, my God. It's so over the top and dramatic. Ugh.
Yeah.
Just
drag
that's all we
the
needed.
Fight scene.
Yeah, we only needed the fight scene.
You know?
So we get more fighting. All good. And then we get this amazing gadget. It doesn't even need an incantation to make it work. What a piece of machinery. And...
Yep.
Suddenly Buffy looks odd. Chris, did you figure it out straight away?
Absolutely not. It took me... The credits had to start before I figured out what's happening. Because she is super, super weird.
Yes.
I get that last line there.
Five,
and then
five,
she
five.
Says...
Five by five.
Five by five. And then it cuts to black. I'm like, what? 5x5? What a weird thing to say. It hit me. Like a ton of bricks.
Like,
a little bit too late, but yes.
Like, okay, obviously that line is somewhat to really
clarify. Because we definitely wouldn't have figured it out.
Like, anyone who can't pick. Yeah. No. You need the line.
Oh, I would not have got it without the line. No way.
Does Joyce not know Faith well enough to instantly
She wouldn't know that. No.
Yeah.
No, Joyce is.
No. And even if she thought it was odd, she might have just been thinking that Buffy was using a phrase of Faith's to just kind of like, you know, show that she'd defeated her, you know? 5x5, satire. Bitch, you know, I've defeated you now. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's certainly not acting oddly enough yet for that to be the case.
So... she immediately smashed the gadget. Do you think that implies that if she hadn't smashed the gadget, that would have been a way out?
Like, I would have assumed so. Swapping
back and forth.
Yep.
Yes.
Fun. If only they'd kept that around.
It's going to be a fun
this
episode.
Next one is going to be good. This next one's going to be good. I'm actually so sad.
Oh, like, I love it. Yeah, we really should have watched it.
Nah, it's fine.
I'm keen. This is, you know, it's just like the, it's just
I
like
know. I kind of
you know,
like that. There's a whole week. Yeah, part two, we've got to wait.
Part two.
Yes. Yeah. So death count this episode. Now, look, I don't think either of these two count, but there's Richard Wilkins killed by Buffy in a dream and Buffy killed by Faith in a dream. Mm. No. Unidentified demon dissected by Adam and courier demon killed by Faith. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a count.
Pretty cool. Yep. I mean, Adam's dissecting work. Oh. I don't know. Are we gonna see any more like hung demons in these woods?
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's pretty brutal.
Maybe this is like his new favorite way. Maybe we're gonna see one like every
spooky.
Episode as he goes through his biology lessons.
You can rank our favorites at the end of the season.
Our favorite dissected bodies.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
So Chris, what is your favorite quote?
I know it was shoehorned in, but it is the scene with Willow and what's her name? What's this character's name?
Tara.
Face punching. I'm not so good with the whole, and I'm a little act out. And it was like swimming. Killed me. I didn't see it coming at all. So funny. It's somewhat like a real one they came up with on set as well. Like just she did the act out and it's like swimming, and they just kept it in. I loved it.
So good.
Very good.
Maple.
Yeah. Look, I think since I kind of referred to it and then skipped over, I'm going to give it to Buffy's line when she's talking about what she actually told Riley about Faith, when she's like, I told him the truth, that she's my wacky identical cousin from England, and whenever she visits, hijinks ensue. I love how all their lies just default to like cousins from out of town, you know?
Yeah.
I know. I'm going to go with a Xander quote.
Yep.
Mainly for the very last part of it. There's kind of a bit of dialogue in between, but, and then the last part of it, I just like the way he delivers this last bit, but he goes, question, will hiding in a cabin with stockpiled chocolate goods be any part of this plan? And Buffy's like, no. He saunters over to Willow and he's like, told you. Like they had some kind of discussion about it. And what won the episode for you, Chris?
For me, it was the Mayer's tape. I really enjoyed the tape. I really, really enjoyed the tape. I was just, like I said, I couldn't look away. Usually, you know, I'm writing notes or I'm on my phone. Or I'm sort of doing two things at once a lot of the time. But that, I was just hypnotized. It was a really, really good scene.
Yes. So good.
That was a good choice. Yeah. Mabel. Oh. Bit hard to choose. I think, again, like, there's a lot of fun things in this episode, but I'm also, like, looking forward to a lot of things in the next episode. Like, this episode didn't have, like, everything, you know? It wasn't...
Yeah.
It was a good episode. It wasn't really a great episode, but it was a really good episode.
And these setup episodes never are, which is why they're so much better as a double. Yeah.
I think... I don't know if I could really, like, quantify which part's better or not, but I'm kind of going to give it to Joyce. Joyce's scene and the presence of Joyce, because I feel like even though Faith was like the big reveal, Joyce was kind of her own reveal for me when I was like, Joyce. I love Joyce. And it almost hit me a bit hard. I guess maybe because I definitely remembered Faith was in this episode and I kind of forgot about Joyce. So I'm giving it to Joyce. I just got very delighted to see her.
We need a damsel in distress. Bring Joyce back.
Well, I'm going to do a classic Megan and sort of do a bunch of wins by doing one win.
Okay.
And I'm going to award it to all of the major ancillary characters.
So okay.
To the mayor, to Spike, to Joyce, and to Faith, and a little bit even to Tara. She was funny, that little bit that she had.
Yeah,
the major ancillary characters made this episode for me. They were all delightful when they were on screen.
No. Love it.
Yeah, I would agree with that because, like you said, like this is a setup episode. It's a part one, and I think they can be done better or worse, you know. And I think this is one of the better ones because, like you said, all those little characters and all the little essentially filler scenes and contractual obligation scenes were fun, you know.
They it were wasn't so like fun.
It wasn't a chore to get through the setup for this two-parter. You know, it was a delight,
and it was because of the great delivery and performance of those ancillary characters, I think.
Yeah, I actually don't think that's a cop out. Like, I think you've actually chosen a thing that made it really good.
Excellent.
So yeah,
yay me. I'm gonna give myself a pat on the back for that one. I got one through.
cool
That's it. That's the end of this episode. It feels like really anticlimactic because there's just so much more to say, you know.
Yep.
You don't know that yet, Chris, but Mabel knows.
No, I'm excited. I'm really excited for next episode. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
There's like a particular scene from next episode that I feel is so like almost visceral.
Iconic.
I just see over and over again and it's all I can think about.
I can think of a couple, so I'm not sure which one it's going to be. I'm going to be interested to hear which one it is, Mabel.
Yeah, well, we'll see if something like overwrites it because, God, I just can't get it out of my head.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where can we find you, Chris?
Oh, yeah, Chris Ceremonies on Instagram. I marry people. And God damn it, I can marry you too.
You really should be doing all your own ads. They're great.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
like
bus
stops and stuff.
Just,
I'll marry you. Do you like it or not?
Love to see you at a bus stop.
Yeah.
You can find me on my other podcast, Sex Ed and Chill. We're doing the final fourth season of Sex Education, the Netflix show at the moment. But maybe one day you can listen to us do an episode about Orgasmo, which
yes.
I would definitely raise with the team over there.
Great. I would enjoy listening to that.
It's fun.
All right. That's it, guys.
And us.
That's us. Oh, yeah, find us. Oh, yeah, the things. All the things. You can find us on Buffy Australia at All the Things.
Yeah.
So look for us there. Not on X. We're not doing X.
No.
X is dead.
No,
it's not.
Okay.
And we're barely on all the other things.
Look, we're barely on the other things, but we're going to try.
Like, you can interact with us and just know that we'll be very slow at replying.
We
but we'll
always
be
giggle.
We'll
say
hey,
it. Enjoy what we see.
If you
want
to talk to us, the best place is Patreon, where we're watching
Patreon.
Angel. Every off week, when we're not releasing a Buffy episode, we're releasing an Angel episode.
And whenever we take hiatuses, we pause the payments, we promise.
That's right. That's right. Isn't that like $5 or $6? It's not much, is it?
It is. Yeah, it's not much. Not much. Come over and listen to us wax lyrical about Angel. Last episode, you got a real behind the scenes view of my cat.
That's right. We got into real detail about everything.
Yeah.
Which is what you want.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. See you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Australians watching Buffy. It's Buffy the Vampire Australia.
Remember when we used to do these in person and Mabel used to rock up super hungover all the time, Chris, and she'd
every
bring
week.
Her KFC with her?
Well, because there's the KFC on the corner. Oh. Yeah.
Every week.
Those were the days.
Hungover again.
but now I'm old and recovery is harder.
Recovery is harder when you get older. 100%.
Seriously.
It's so hard.